This is Ham College, episode 130, for October 31st, 2025. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Fall is here, and ICOM rigs are your go-to gear. Whether you're chasing DX from the cozy comfort of your shack or taking your rig outdoors under crisp autumn skies, ICOM keeps you connected through every season. Welcome to a special Halloween episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And Dean, was there much trick-or-treating going on the campus tonight?
Yeah, there was quite a bit. I probably had about 30 kids come by here. Okay. That's kind of a lot for us. Actually, it's kind of average.
Yeah, we didn't have many at all here this year. And I hadn't for the last few years, but that's okay. I'll probably gain some weight over the course of the next month.
Yeah. You know, we live across from the elementary school and the middle school over there. So it's, I guess it's a middle school. Anyway, it's a lot of kids live around here because of the school.
Yeah.
That's where we usually get a lot.
Well, we have Scully sitting in the night just in case we can't answer some of the questions.
Good. He's probably got the most brains of everybody here.
Let me see. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Didn't sound completely empty.
What did we talk about on the last episode of Ham College?
Let me think about that. It seems like it was math or something. Maybe math for electronics. Conversion of electrical units in decibels, maybe.
Oh, my favorite topics. Now, tonight.
Oh, yeah, they're always good for a party.
Yeah. Tonight we're going to talk about capacitance and inductance terminology and units, radio frequency definitions and units, and impedance definition and units, and calculating power. All fun stuff.
That sounds like a great time, too.
It is.
A lot of math these days.
It's kind of like, I don't know, very easy math. I didn't even bring a calculator.
You didn't?
No. So that's how confident I am in how easy the questions are tonight.
All right.
Not in our abilities, nothing to do with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't take it that way.
Okay. Good. What describes the ability to store energy in an electric field? A, inductance.
B, resistance.
C, tolerance.
Or D, capacitance. In an electric field, what describes the ability to store energy in an electric field? Well, I know it's not tolerance, and I know it's not resistance. It's going to be either inductance or capacitance. And I'm thinking they're kind of related about stored energy, but I'm thinking this one, electric field. I'm thinking this one's going to be decapacitance.
I agree with you. Not everybody agrees with you, though.
But, well, they should. Everybody should agree with me.
Well, you know how it goes. and I can see why, because there's two different devices there that will store energy.
Yeah, they're similar related, but they just kind of work a little differently.
There's only one of them that'll store it in an electric field, though.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wrong way.
I don't know that it's possible.
Oh, that hurt.
Okay. We actually can prove this out and see if that is the correct answer.
How are we going to do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to bring in a little oscilloscope here, which is, it's a nice little oscilloscope. I like this. I don't get to use it often, but tonight seemed like the perfect opportunity. Digilent, Analog Discovery 2. Now, they've got a newer one. I think they make an Analog Discovery 3. This is a great little deal here, man. It's not real high frequency. I think it caps out 20 megahertz, maybe, but that'll work fine for a lot of things. there's a number of accessories you can plug in it. I've got the one here where you can add in some BNC connectors so I can use it as a scope. Here's the oscilloscope software. That little device does a lot of different things. An oscilloscope is just one of them. This is where you would hook in input number one. Instead of a probe, I've just got clips here that conveniently have a capacitor connected between positive and negative going into the scope.
That was convenient.
Isn't it? Of course, an electrolytic capacitor, typically, I mean, there are non-polarized ones, but this one is polarized, so I want to make sure I got ground on the negative side and positive on the plus side so nothing goes boom in the night. If we just look at it on the scope, nothing's happening. I've got a C-cell, 1.5 volts right there, and I've got a couple of alligator clip leads connected to it. So I'm going to put the negative on the negative side of the capacitor there. And then I'm going to connect the positive to it on the positive side. But let's look at the scope when I do that. All right, I'm connecting the voltage. And you can see the yellow trace went up there just over 1.5
volts. 1.6
volts? Yeah. 1.5566. About 1.55, 1.6, roughly. Now, I'm going to remove the positive voltage lead from the capacitor. And there you go. The capacitor is discharging. So it was storing energy in an electrical field.
What is the unit of capacitance? The farad?
B, the ohm.
C, the volt.
Or D, the henry. What is the unit of capacitance? Well, I mean, there's only one answer for that, of course, and I think most people will get this one. If you know anything about electronics, it's the farad, A. That's what they're saying over in the chat room.
Is that really the pronunciation?
Farad.
I always call it farad.
Yeah. It depends on where you are, I guess.
Okay. One of those.
Yeah, one of those kind. I think is that named after Michael Faraday? It is. The farad. What describes the ability to store energy in a magnetic field? A, admittance.
B, capacitance.
C, resistance.
Or D, inductance. A magnetic field. Well, it's not admittance. And I know it's not resistance. And because of the last one I just answered, I'm pretty sure it's not capacitance. So it has to be D, inductance. Because the other one in the electric field was resistance. I mean, capacitance, rather. Sorry.
Yep. I'm going to agree with you. It's inductance. Chat room.
Sure, agreeable this evening.
Well, so far.
So far, yeah.
Yeah. And it is. So you're batting 100.
So far.
At this point.
The night's still young.
I heard that earlier, I think.
Yeah, probably going to hear it again.
Yeah.
That's my mantra.
And this gives us another convenient opportunity to use an oscilloscope.
Now, well, that's always a great time.
Yeah, I should have pulled out my real oscilloscope for this because, unfortunately, the little analog discovery here does not like this particular experiment. I just happen to have a coil of wire, which would be the same as an inductor. I don't remember what this came off of. It was either a solenoid or a relay. So we're going to see what happens when you hook it up to a scope here and see if we can measure some stored energy in it. By the way, this is set for DC coupling. These little jumpers will let you select AC or DC. There's no way to do it in the software. You have to do it right there with those jumpers. So I've still got a convenient 1.5 volt DC source here. Theoretically, when I put the voltage on there, we shouldn't see much of anything. It's when I remove the voltage, if there was a magnetic field storing energy here, we ought to see something happen. I am about to apply the voltage. Here we go. Oh, that was ugly, wasn't it? You see what happened?
I don't.
When I put the voltage across it, it freaks out the analog discovery there. It can't handle it. So I've got to have another way to test that. What I'm going to do is remove all voltage connections from the coil here and the scope connections temporarily. So now the voltage is going to the coil. There's no voltage being connected to the analog discovery there. I'm going to put my scope probe inside the coil of wire here. It's actually not a probe, but a test clip. And that should catch some magnetic field or electric pulse from the magnetic field discharging. But we'll just have to see what happens. I'm not going to connect up the other lead going to the scope. And I'm going to move it over here to the number two channel, which will be a blue trace, because I have this one jumpered for AC current. It just happened to work out better when I was experimenting with it earlier. So now, negative on one side of the coil, I'm going to put positive on the other so we can look at it. Drop the voltage there a little bit so we can actually see something.
Oh.
Not that much, but here.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, now that's just noise in the air here. I'm going to put the voltage across the coil, and it's on there now. I really didn't see anything there. I'm going to remove it. You see those spikes?
Yeah.
Those are appearing when I remove the voltage. So that's the energy or the magnetic field being discharged in that coil there and producing a little voltage. It's stored magnetically. But if you measure across it or connect it to a circuit, there'll be actually a little voltage discharge through there. That's why when you're connecting a relay in a circuit, if it's a DC driving that relay, you put a diode in there. You put the positive side of the diode toward the positive voltage, the negative to the other side. So you really don't see anything, or the supply doesn't see the diode until you disconnect the voltage. When you drop the voltage going to the relay coil, that's called, would be like a snubber. It'll short that spike out so it doesn't get back into your other circuits and mess up things. Typically, you'll be using an inductor in an AC circuit, and it'll constantly switch in polarity, so it'll be charging and discharging as it goes back and forth. Square wave would give a better visual. Yes, it would. Square wave, you would have seen something.
What is the unit of inductance? A, I'm going to butcher this. A, the coulomb?
Coulomb.
Coulomb. A, the coulomb?
B, the farad.
C, the Henry?
Or D, the ohm. What is the unit of inductance? It's not a coulomb. It's not a farad. It's not an ohm. It's C, the Henry. Because that's
so
just...
You don't want to call a friend? Phone a friend for this one?
No.
Maybe you could call Henry.
I'm just going to call it Henry. Yeah. C. Chat room. Yeah, they're saying C.
I see.
And it is. What is the unit of impedance? Is it A, the volt?
B, the ampere?
C, the coulomb?
Or D, the ohm? Well, it's not the volt. It's not A, the volt. Not the impedance. Impedance is like resisting. Resistors are measured in ohms. So I'm going to just go straight for the throat here for D, the ohm.
That's what they're saying in the chat room, and that is indeed the correct answer. So,
well, we hadn't seen that yet. Now we see.
Yeah, impedance actually has two components. Resistance is one of them, and the other one is reactance.
What does abbreviation RF mean? A, radio frequency signals of all types.
B, the resonant frequency of a tuned circuit.
C, the real frequency transmitted as opposed to the apparent frequency.
D, reflective forces in antenna transmission lines. Let's start at the bottom. Reflective force in antenna transmission line. Nah. C, the real frequency transmitted as opposed to the apparent frequency. I'm not even sure what an apparent frequency is.
Apparently, no one does.
Yep. B, the resonant frequency of a tuned circuit. Well, while a tuned circuit does have a resonant frequency, it's not what RF stands for, not what we use it for. It's A, the radio frequency signals of all types. RF. Chat room saying A. There we go.
Cool.
Radio frequency. What is the abbreviation for megahertz? A, capital M, capital H.
B, lower M, lower H.
C, capital M, little h, Z.
Or D, capital M, capital H, lower Z. And I'm not 100% sure about this one. I think it's going to be either C or D, and I think it's D. It seems like I've seen it like that more. I'm honestly really not totally sure. I'm going to go with D.
I'll agree
with
that.
Isn't that right? Everybody else in the chat room says it's D.
Yep. Well, we did have a K, kind of hertz. Yeah. Let me tell you how you reason that one out. All right. The M, the reason you're using a capital M is because in the way that the metric system uses it, M is used more than once. We have, like, if you notice there, an MH on answer B. If you were going to read that, that would be millihenry. You know, because we could have millivolts, milliohms, milliamps. And since that's below zero, then you'd use a lowercase letter. But mega being on the opposite side, you know, higher than zero, bigger number, you use a capital M to distinguish between the two there.
Okay.
That also, we have micro. So we don't only have milli to deal with. We got micro as well. But let's don't get sidetracked on that. And then the capital H, the reason you got that, it's because it's somebody's name, Hertz.
So, ah.
Yeah. That is.
Won't forget that next time.
Yeah. It works out in most of the cases, if you just remember those two things. I say most because it could be a case it doesn't, and I need an out just in case.
Always leave the back door open, man.
Why don't we take a break, come back, and then we'll give away the shirt on your back.
All right. Let me go ahead and be taking it off.
Pumpkins Plaid and plenty of QSOs. Fall is here, and ICOM rigs are your go-to gear. Whether you're chasing DX from the cozy comfort of your shack or taking your rig outdoors under crisp autumn skies, ICOM keeps you connected through every season. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for Sirius Signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio, the IC7760 HF digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1 kilowatt HF 50 megahertz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output power, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote controller serves as an extra control head, and up to five can be registered to the RF deck, though only one can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single, unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. The IC7300 combines intuitive touchscreen control, real-time spectrum display, and superior signal purity into one compact rig. Built for satellite, EME, and weak signal enthusiasts, the IC9700 combines all-mode operation on VHF, UHF, and 1.2 GHz. The IC705 go-to rig for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. A large color touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive function and setting operation. The IC705 provides big radio features and performance in the palm of your hand. Enjoy HF to 50, 144, and 440 MHz with D-Star, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. You still got your shirt on.
Oh, man. Hold on. I don't think anybody really wants me taking that off.
Likely not.
But we can give it away anyway. I'll take it off after a while. It's a nice Ham Crew t-shirt from ICOM.
That's the one.
One that looks just as good on the back as it does on the front. I have no idea if you can see that or not.
You can. We could tell you were coming and going. How could you win that?
Oh, it's really pretty easy. All you got to do is have an email address and send an email with your name in it to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. That's pretty much it. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to have anything but a name and an email address. Probably need a shirt size once ICOM contacts the winner. But other than that,
yeah,
pretty easy sailing.
Pretty easy. And we delete all the entries after the drawing each month, right before each episode when we draw the names. And so you'll want to register again. As a matter of fact, right now would be a good time just to drop us an email, hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv, and your name or message or whatever you want to put in there. And right before the show, we drew a lucky winner here, this month's lucky winner, of the swag package with the Ham Crew t-shirt and whatever else Jesse stuffs in the box. Love the show and congratulations on the anniversary. He's talking about the anniversary of Amateur Logic, 20 years. 73 Mark W5MHG. I wanted to say MHZ, but MHG. Congratulations. Yeah,
congratulations, Mark.
Yeah. You'll be hearing from ICOM to get your shirt size and where you'd like it shipped and all such things. Everyone else, drop us an email, hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. We got more questions. These are going to take a little shift. They'll be different questions, but not radically harder. But since we are aiming this this series of episodes at technician class licensees or those wanting to become technicians and get into amateur radio, we'll talk about some simple electronics math that you'll need. And easy ways to think about it so that you can solve some of the problems that might be on your test. First up, let's look at this. This is commonly referred to as Ohm's law, I equal E over R, or I equal E divided by R. Now, a little crutch you can use, and for some reason, my instructor in college did not want us to do that, but everybody and his brother does it this way. Draw you a triangle or a circle or whatever, divide it into three sections like this. You take the I, put it right here. It equals to E over R, so you put E over R. And now you can figure out any one of those three if you know two of them. So I equals E divided by R, as we got here. If you want to know E, E is equal to I times R, because they're side by side there. Or if you want to know R, R equals E divided by I. That's three common variations of Ohm's law there. There's another one that might be handy, even tonight. We'll go ahead and show it now, although if I was being mean, I would hold it till after we'd asked the questions. This is the formula for power. Now, this is not the only formula for power, but this one will get you there. In a lot of cases, it's all you need. P equals I times E. So we'll put P up here, and the I times E. Well, we'll put the I and the E down here. So power equals current times voltage. I should have said it earlier, I is current, and the unit of measurement is amps. Why is it I? That's a good question.
What's the good answer?
I don't have a good answer, but that's what it is. And why is voltage E, electromotive force? Nobody has jumped on why I is current, though. I, if you need to figure out current, you know the power and the voltage. I equals power divided by voltage. Or your voltage, E, equals P divided by I. Same thing we did with Ohm's law there. Just put it in a pyramid there, divide it up. And if you know two of those, you can figure out what the other one is. And so that could come in handy at some point. All you really got to remember is the first one here. P equals I times E, or for Ohm's law, I equals E over R, E divided by R.
What is the formula used to calculate electrical power, or P, in a DC circuit? A, P equals I times E.
B, P equals E over I.
C, P equals E minus I.
Or D, P equals I plus E. What is the formula used to calculate electrical power in a DC circuit? Well, we talked about it earlier. It's, it's A, P equals I times E. Okay, here's one for you. How much power is delivered by a voltage of 13.8 volts DC and a current of 10 amperes? A, 138 watts.
B, 0.7 watts.
C, 23.8 watts.
Or D, 3.8 watts. How much power is delivered by a voltage of 13.8 volts DC and a current of 10 amperes? 13.8 times 10 is going to be A, 138 watts.
And you solve that by?
Yeah, multiplied the voltage times the current.
Yeah, P equals I times E. There you go. I'm going to agree. Everybody in the chat room as well.
How much power is delivered by a voltage of 12 volts DC and a current of 2.5 amperes? A, 4.8 watts.
B, 30 watts.
C, 14.5 watts.
Or D, 0.208 watts. All right, so thinking back to my power formula there, so P equals I times E, 30 watts.
I concur.
B, what's the chat room saying? How much current is required to deliver 120 watts at a voltage of 12 volts DC? A, 0.1 amperes.
B, 10 amperes.
C, 12 amperes.
Or D, 132 amperes. How much current is required to deliver 120 watts at a voltage of 12 volts DC? 120 watts, the watts divided by the volts. Well, it's going to be B, 10 amperes.
They're all saying B. And it is.
What is impedance? A, the opposition to AC current flow.
B, the inverse of resistance.
C, the Q or quality factor of a component.
Or D, the power handling capability of a component. What is impedance? It's not the power handling capability. It's not the Q or quality factor, which is a real thing, but doesn't have anything to do with impedance. It's not the inverse of resistance. It is sort of similar to resistance. It's you could think of it as AC resistance, sort of. A, the opposition to AC current flow, because we're dealing with resistive and reactive components there. You put those two together, you got the impedance. So I'm going to say A, the opposition to AC current. What is the abbreviation for kilohertz? A, uppercase K, uppercase H, uppercase Z.
Or B, lowercase K, lowercase H, lowercase Z.
Or C, lowercase K, H, and an uppercase Z.
Or D, lowercase K, uppercase H, lowercase Z, or Z. We're in the U.S., right, so we'll go with Z. Okay, following the same train of thought from before for megahertz, I'm going to roll with D, lowercase K, uppercase H, lowercase Z. Because K is less than the megahertz, and hertz is the name, his name. So, Heinrich Hertz.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm going with D. It might be right, might be wrong.
It is right. Yeah. But the logic wasn't right on the K there. The reason it's a small K is because there is no other K in the units there. Where like M, you know, there's a megahertz, there's a milli, and there's a micro. With K, there's nothing else that starts with a K.
Oh,
so that's okay. I'm not sure that's correct way to figure it out, but works for me. Everybody doesn't have a nice Ham Crew t-shirt from ICOM, although a number of you more than already have them could possibly win one if you just send us an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv.
You got a good chance as anybody.
Yep. If you can't wait, though, or you have an adversity to email.
Or don't have a shirt.
Yes, we wouldn't want you to go cold this winter. Now, would we?
No way. You can get your shirt, though, at shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic. You get a hoodie. See the hoodie down there on the bottom right?
I do see that hoodie.
There's all kind of stuff on there. There's jackets, T-shirts, golf shirts, caps, cups,
sweatshirts,
mugs, backpacks, sweatshirts. Quite a plethora of swag.
A plethora.
What is a plethora?
If you want to know what's going on throughout the month, when the next episode's going to be of Ham College or Amateur Logic, there's a good place that you can do that. Actually, three good places. You can go to facebook.com/group/hamcollege.
You can follow us at Ham College on Twitter.
Or you can go to groups.io/g/amateurlogic. If you need show notes, and why wouldn't you? If you want to look up past episodes of Ham College, see what we were talking about, there's a good place to do that, isn't it?
It is. AmateurLogic.tv/wiki. I know the guy personally that puts those notes up there, and he'd be glad for you to go search for your things you need in there, and so it's not in vain adding all those notes in there.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I searched through there for stuff this week myself.
Yep, same here. Yep. Through the Amateur Logic one.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode. Join us again next month. Look in those social media sites there. All those places will announce when the next episode will be. And, hey, thanks for being here.
Yep, thanks. Have a safe Halloween, what's left of it, 7-3.
7-3.
All right, let's go.
Can't quite hear you.
There, is that better? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I think that's it. Scully just left the building, man.
He just gave it up, man. He couldn't take it anymore.